Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued. Today, we're really zeroing in on something pretty fundamental in family life, actually. Mm. It's how we talk about clothes with our kids. Specifically, these seemingly small rules about covering up.
Right. And how they might have deeper impacts than we realize.
Exactly. Impacts on all kids, neurotypical and neurodivergent kids, too. We'll explore how it can sometimes lead to things like body shame.
Yeah, and our main source for this discussion is a really interesting blog post. It's from the Church of Tinkerbell, published in May 2025.
What's it called again?
It's titled, The Hidden Costs of Covering Up, How Clothing Rules and Body Shame Hurt Kids, and How to Create a Home of Body Freedom.
Okay.
So our kind of mission here, I guess, is to unpack that, to look at the harm these clothing norms might cause, maybe without us even noticing, and then figure out, you know, practical ways to foster more body freedom and safety at home.
Sounds good. So let's get straight to it. This idea of the unseen harm of cover-up culture. It's more than just like making sure clothes fit properly, right? The blog suggests those everyday phrases, things like, hey, pull your shirt down. They might carry more weight.
That's the core idea, really. That these comments, even if well-intentioned, can plant these little seeds of, well, body shame.
How so?
Well, the repetition, the constant reminders to cover up, it can subtly teach a child that their natural body, just as it is somehow something to hide.
Or something that needs managing.
Exactly. Something to manage, maybe even feel a bit embarrassed about. And over time, that really shapes how they see themselves physically.
Okay, so let's break that down. For a neurotypical child, what are the potential effects we're talking about here? Is it just feeling a bit awkward?
It can be more than that. The blog points to potentially lower body confidence, for starters, maybe becoming too focused on appearance, on flaws they perceive.
Mm.
It could also lead to anxiety around clothes, like what to wear, how others see them, even just the general discomfort in their own skin.
And does it connect to like body changes during puberty?
Yes. Definitely. It can create shame around completely normal things, menstruation, erections, breast development, even body odor. Things that are just part of being human.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier the impact might be amplified for neurodivergent kids. Why is that? How does it hit differently for them?
Yeah, this is a really crucial point in the source material. For autistic kids especially, there are some specific challenges.
Like what?
Well, they might really struggle with the why. Understanding the unwritten social rules about modesty when you cover up, why you cover up in this situation, but not that one, it can be confusing.
I can see that. So they might swing between extremes.
Potentially, yeah. Either becoming hypervigilant, like always worried about covering up perfectly, or maybe just not picking up on the social expectations at all.
Which could lead to more anxiety either way.
Definitely. More anxiety about social missteps. And sometimes the instruction, you must cover up, can be taken very, very literally.
Meaning they think their actual body is the problem.
Kind of, yeah. That their body itself is inherently wrong or bad to be seen, rather than seeing it as, you know, a social convention that changes. And that can really get in the way of developing a healthy sense of bodily autonomy.
The blog also mentions some research, right? Something about parental focus on clothes.
Yes. It brings up a study, I think from 2023, that found a link between how much parents focus on clothing and appearance.
And how kids feel about their bodies.
Exactly. It linked that parental focus to kids internalizing body shame and also self-objectification.
Self-objectification, meaning seeing themselves as just bodies to be looked at.
Pretty much. Seeing their worth tied mostly to how their body looks to others rather than how it feels or what it can do, it shows how much these seemingly small interactions matter.
Wow. And there was another connection made in the blog, something about shame-based teaching and vulnerability.
Yeah, that was an interesting point referencing slightly older research. It suggested that teaching modesty primarily through shame
can actually backfire in terms of safety.
That's the argument. If kids learn their main job is to obey rules about covering up, they might prioritize that compliance over listening to their own internal feelings or boundaries about their body.
Making them potentially more vulnerable if someone tries to violate those boundaries.
Unfortunately, yes. That's the concern raised. It boils down to this feeling, as the blog puts it, that a child's very existence is somehow too much or problematic if their natural state isn't hidden.
That really leads into the next big theme: clothing as control, not comfort. That phrasing really hits home.
It does, because we usually think of clothes as, you know, being for comfort.
Right.
But the blog asks us to think about the actual sensory experience.
Yeah.
For lots of kids, and maybe especially neurodivergent kids, fabrics can feel itchy, tight, just uncomfortable, overwhelming even.
So some kids might genuinely feel better, calmer, maybe without clothes on sometimes.
Exactly. Less sensory input can be regulating for some.
So then if we add rules on top of that, potential discomfort rules like, nope, can't just wear your underwear in the house. What's the underlying message?
Well, the blog argues it sends the message that social rules, or maybe other people's potential discomfort, are more important than the child's own sensory needs.
Or their sense of ownership over their own body.
Precisely. Even small rules, like you need to cover your chest even though it's just us, can subtly communicate that their comfort comes second.
Hmm. And the blog also mentioned the challenge for kids who split time between homes, like different rules in different houses.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Okay, this next section really challenges the standard narrative, I think. It's called the weight of being seen wrong. It questions if modesty rules are really the best way to teach safety.
Right. It acknowledges that modesty is often framed as being about protection, but asks, is teaching kids their body is inherently dangerous the best way?
What's the alternative presented?
The blog points to research suggesting that what's actually more protective is empowering kids, giving them a strong sense of bodily autonomy.
Like, your body is yours.
Exactly. And giving them the right words for body parts, teaching them clearly about consent, and building their confidence to set boundaries. That seems more effective against abuse than just modesty rules alone.
That makes a lot of sense. It shifts the burden, doesn't it?
It does. Instead of teaching, don't let anyone see you, which kind of puts the responsibility on the child for how others might react.
You teach your body is yours, and no one gets to touch or see it without your okay.
Precisely. It builds empowerment without the shame. The blog also briefly touched on the higher risk of assault for autistic girls, underlining how vital this sense of autonomy is for all kids, especially those who might face unique vulnerabilities.
So this all leads to the practical side. If we want to move away from potentially harmful rules, what can parents actually do? How do we create this home of body freedom the blog talks about?
Okay, yeah, the blog offers some really concrete steps. The first one is about modeling.
So walking around naked all the time?
Not necessarily. It's more about being casually unclothed when it makes sense for you and feels comfortable. Like maybe walking from the shower to your room without making a big deal of it.
Just normalizing bodies, basically.
Exactly. Kids learn so much from just observing what's normal in their home. No need for fanfare or big explanations.
Okay, that feels doable. What's next?
The second is giving explicit permission. Actually saying something like, hey, in our house, you get to wear whatever makes you feel comfortable.
So it's clear it's about their comfort and choice.
Right. The focus is on their autonomy, not necessarily pushing them to be unclothed if they don't want to be. That's key.
And then there was something about contextual framing, not making clothes a moral issue.
Yeah, this is about helping kids understand why we wear clothes in different situations without judgment.
So,
like explaining, at home, we wear what's comfy. If guests come over, we might put on clothes because it helps them feel comfortable. And when we go out, there are social rules and sometimes laws about wearing clothes.
So it separates the why from any sense of shame about their body itself.
Exactly. It's about context, not about their body being inherently wrong.
Makes sense. What else?
Another important one is validating comfort and control, especially for kids with sensory sensitivities. Reassuring them, you never have to be unclothed if you don't want to be.
Reinforcing that autonomy again, it goes both ways.
It has to. And if they have questions about nudity, the advice is just simple, unembarrassed answers. Like, why aren't you wearing a shirt? Oh, it feels comfortable right now. Keep it straightforward.
No awkwardness.
Right. And finally, tying it all together is constantly reinforcing consent and boundaries. Talking openly about body ownership, the right to say no to touch, the right to privacy. This links body freedom directly to body safety.
These are great practical points. What about that tricky situation, though? Kids navigating different rules between, say, mom's house and dad's house.
Yeah, the blog addresses that too. The key advice is to acknowledge the difference in rules, but crucially, without criticizing the other parent.
Okay, how would that sound?
Maybe something like, yeah, every house has different rules.
Yeah.
It sounds like at Dad's place, wearing clothes inside is the rule, and that's okay for when you're there. Here at our house, you get to choose what feels comfy for you.
So you validate their experience in both places without making one right and one wrong.
Exactly. It helps them navigate it without feeling caught in the middle or internalizing that one parent's way is bad.
So when we pull all this together, what's the ultimate goal? What is this gift of a shame-free body the blog talks about?
It's really about the long-term benefits. When kids grow up without this layer of body shame, well, they're more likely to become adults who are genuinely comfortable in their own skin.
Which sounds pretty fundamental for well-being.
Totally. And potentially, they might be less vulnerable to harm because they have that strong internal compass about their body, that sense of ownership, rather than just focusing on following external rules.
And they can navigate the world's weird messages about bodies better?
Hopefully, yeah. They can approach cultural norms from a place of internal security, not fear or shame. It really boils down to accepting kids' bodies simply as they are.
Not taboo, not automatically sexualized, not needing constant management.
Exactly. The blog calls creating this kind of home environment a quiet revolution, which I love. A quiet stand against all the societal pressures.
So the core message we want kids to feel deep down is,
I am safe, I am whole, I am good, just as I am. That's the goal.
The blog also briefly mentioned some broader research reinforcing how much parental attitudes shape childhood body image, underlining that this isn't just one blog's opinion.
Wow. This has really been eye-opening, taking something that seems so everyday, like getting dressed.
And seeing how our words, our rules, our unspoken attitudes can have such a deep impact on a child's sense of self, their body image. It's huge.
It really is. It makes you pause and think, doesn't it? Reflect on maybe your own upbringing, your current habits, and how you might consciously cultivate something more positive, more freeing for the kids in your life.
Absolutely. So maybe here's a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on. In a world that seems so obsessed with how bodies look, what could it really mean for the next generation if they could genuinely grow up feeling at peace with their physical selves, just as they are?
Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.